Continuing with the next kina, it's Yud Beis. Each stanza begins with the word Ahli. Ahli is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. And each stanza talks about the Beis HaMikdash, says something special about the Beis HaMikdash. It goes in it's a little bit of a variation, though, of the alphabetical order. The first one is a tough. Not, you have to count from the third word on the line, Ahli Asher, because each one starts with Ahli Asher. And then the next word is ta'afta, that's tough. And then the following line, the third word is shudad. And then the next line, it's a little bit tricky. It's the second word, raya, ki raya. So it's tough shin resh. And it goes through 22 letters and 22 lines in the reverse alphabet, tashrak. And each stanza begins with Ali, which is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel that calls the Beis HaMikdash Ali. So it's each stanza is a description of the Beis HaMikdash, or it's a description of a certain aspect of the Beis HaMikdash. Ali asher ta'afta adlei v'reishis im kisei chavid l'tzarfai, that even before the world was created, but you desired this Beis HaMikdash to put together with your kisei akavid. That meaning it was in the original plans, the pre-original plans, before there was a world. There was a plan of a kisei akavod. It's representing the mikdash shel mala and the mikdash shel mata. The idea of connecting the olam haruchni with this world, that being the base of mikdash. So this predates Bries HaOlam. That's the focus of the first stanza, about how the Beis HaMikdash predates Bries HaOlam. The second stanza, Ali Asher Kemamta Li Sonei Aretz, those are the Avos, the Isanim are the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Becherdas Mi Eifai, Lomel HaNetzach Tzumas. So again, in each stanza, the second line talks about how now it's been captured, it's been destroyed, Lomel HaNetzach. The first stanza says, Shudad Be'ad Shodidim, it's been captured by pirates, Lomel HaNetzach Tzumas Be'ad Tzurim, it's been smashed by the enemy. The third stanza, Ali Asher Patzta L'manoi L'tzir, that you spoke about it with the tzir, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. And now it's L'netzach Ura B'ad Nachrem. The fourth stanza is Ali Asher Nachisa Ba'anane Hoid. So it talks about the connection that it has with the Yidden in the Midbar that was surrounded by the Anane HaKavod. The next stanza, Ali Asher Kivanta Mul Machan L'Shivtecha L'Chayv V'Kupai, talks about its connection with the Mikdash Shalmala. So each stanza talks about a different aspect or a different connection in the Beis HaMikdash connected with some other event or person in history, and then talking about Lomel HaNetzach, why for so long now is it laying in waste. Focusing on the connection made in the second stanza, Ali Asher Kemamta Leisani Aretz, that you made this for the Avos, or in the Zchus of the Avos, Becherdas Mi Eifai. That's the pasuk with which the Paitan describes the Avos. The connection of the Avos to the Beis HaMikdash is described with the words Becherdas Mi Eifai. Now, what is Becherdas Mi Eifai? So, obviously, this is a reference to the pasuk where it says, Vayecha Yitzchak Harod Gadoila, that Yitzchak trembled greatly, terribly. When did Yitzchak tremble so greatly and terribly? When Esav walked in after Yaakov had brought him the matamim and said, I am Esav, and Yitzchak ate from the matamim, and Yitzchak gave all the brachos to Yaakov. And then somebody else came in and said, here I am, I'm Esav, I brought you the matamim. And he said, Mi eifoi hatzad sayed, who then was the one that brought the first set of dishes? That's the pasuk. That's the Cherdas Mi Eifai. Mi Eifai is the lashon that Yitzchak used, and he was Yechad Charada. So the Paitan describes that moment, and that's the way he connects the Avos to the Beis HaMikdash, which is strange. The story is a good story if you're just trying to think of some of the best stories from Bereishis, but in terms of connection to the Beis HaMikdash, Akedas Yitzchak happened in the Makom HaMikdash. Yaakov Avinu's dream happened in the Makom HaMikdash. This didn't happen in the Makom HaMikdash. There isn't really any obvious connection with the Beis HaMikdash. So the Paitan couldn't think of any other way to connect the Avos with the Beis HaMikdash, he wants to say that the Ol Yasher Kemam Delei Sonei Aretz. This Beis HaMikdash has some Sheiches with the Sonei Aretz. The Sheiches is Becherdas Mi Eifai, in that story of the Becherdas Mi Eifai. I heard an extraordinary explanation from Rav Aaron Lapiansky. In those Psukim, Yaakov came in, and then Esav came in, and Yitzchak trembled, and he said, "Mi Eifa, who then was that? What's the word Eifa doing over there?" So Rashi says the word Eifa doesn't really belong. Rashi says it doesn't mean, it's not the Eifa that, you know, usually we think of the word Eifa as meaning where. Rashi says it doesn't mean where over here, it's just a figure of speech, it's a sort of a term that makes the sentence flow better. It means who then. Mi Eifa is like who then was the Tzad Sayyid that came before. But in the Zohar HaKadosh, it says Eifa means where. What's the where? Yitzchak was asking a where question. Because when Yaakov walked in, Rashi brings down, when Yaakov walked in, there was the Shekhinah came in with him. Yitzchak sensed that whoever it was that just walked into the room brought the Shekhinah with him. And when Esav came in, he said, Eifai, where is the Shekhinah? Because then he didn't sense the Shekhinah. So that word, according to the Zohar, that word Eifai represents the lack of Shekhinah, the void, the absence of Shekhinah, of connection with the Rabbeinu Shleilam. That's what was represented by the word Eifai when Yitzchak was Chari Chara de Gedayla. Rav Lapiansky was Moisef. So when we talk about something having a place, everything is in a place. Right, so looking around at the table in front of me, I see that, you know, this talis is on the table. You could say the table is its place. These svarim are on the table is its place. But the word place is really used different ways for different things. You imagine somebody that walks in, you know, he's just shopping. He walks in with a bunch of shopping bags and he needs a place to put them down. So the counter is full. He clears a spot on the counter. He pushes away some other things to put down the bags. Now, so the bags are on the counter, but they're not on the counter. And we would even say he made a place for them. But that's not a place for them in the sense that that's where they belong. The bags, the groceries belong on the counter. No, he's going to put them away as soon as he gets a chance, but he needed to put them somewhere. So he put them there. By contrast, imagine you bought an apartment, you rented an apartment, and there's a big wall in the dining room, and it's an empty wall. And you look at it, or your wife looks at it, and says, this wall needs a painting. And so you go and you buy a painting to put on that wall because the wall needed a painting. The wall was empty. And then you find the painting that's just the right size and just the right coloring and just the right look to complete that wall. And you put it up on that wall. And then that wall is the place for that painting because the wall was empty without it. There was a void, and the painting came to fill the void. That's called having a place. The wall is the place for that painting much more than the counter was the place for those groceries, because the painting came to fill the void on that wall. You know, when people want to have a place, right? You want to feel like you have a place. You're in some kind of a social setting. You're part of a group. Part of a yeshiva, you're part of a family, you're part of a kehillah, of a shul, and you know, sometimes a person feels like, yeah, I can come to this shul, they let, you know, and there's even a seat for me, but you don't feel like you're contributing anything, like the shul really needed you there. That's not your makom. When you find the shul that needed somebody with your talent, with your contributions, and then you step in and you complete that kehillah, that's your place. When people pursue ruchnius, so, you know, we're b'nei Torah, we're chenichei yeshivais, and we know that, you know, we daven, we learn, we do mitzvahs, we look for ruchnius. But the challenge, Rav Lapiansky said, is that it shouldn't be just that I know that it's better if I do mitzvahs, it's a good thing to do mitzvahs, let me go do mitzvahs. a person is supposed to be in search of ruchnius because there's a void. He feels incomplete without it. Then the ruchnius goes in and completes him. It finds its makom in him. That's the way a person needs to seek ruchnius. And Allah has kama v'chama, the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Beis Chayenu. That's our pursuit of ruchnius is exemplified by the Beis HaMikdash. A kesher with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Beis HaMikdash can't come just because it would be nice, because you want it. Because we were taught that everything will be wonderful when there's a Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash comes to fill a void. When we feel the void that we don't have ruchnius in our lives, or it's such a narrow, constricted ruchnius, it's just a tenuous connection, because there's an avelus for the Beis Chayenu, then the Beis HaMikdash could come. It needs to be filling a void. That's what Yitzchak was expressing, mi eifa. The Zohar Kaddish says, when the Esav walked in, Yitzchak said, there's no Shechina here. And he said, eifa. And that word, mi eifa, represented the idea that there's a void, there's an absence of ruchnius. That is the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. When we feel the absence, the Beis HaMikdash comes to be mamali that. That's why that ma'isa, from all the ma'isim involving the avos, is the one that most perfectly captures the connection of the avos to the Beis HaMikdash.